Summer XP. First speaker is Martin Schwenke from IBM in Australia. He's also a member of the Summer team. And the talk is about CTDB. Let's start.
Tutu, can you hear me up the back? Does it work? Speck schmeckt. That's a private joke. All right. So for the past several years, I and to some extent Amate have been coming here telling you about all the fabulous things that are going to happen to CTDB. And it has generally been, they've been interesting talks, but they've been vaporware talks, right? We keep saying we're going to do things and we don't. So this year, we got some things done. And the other thing is, I followed Tridge's advice when submitting a talk proposal. Be ambitious. Talk about the things that you're going to get done, and that will motivate you to get them done. Kai yesterday quoted that thing that says, theory and practice are the same in theory. So some of this stuff has been done, some hasn't, and we'll see. So I'm going to talk about four main things. I'm going to talk about CTDB configuration and how it has changed and how it will change further. I'm going to talk about event handling in CTDB, service management and how that's changing, and IP failover. Now, all of these things, except config, I think, were things that I spoke about last year. First, there's the journey. What have we been doing since Samba XP last year? So items with an M in brackets are things that I've done. So the thing I was working on while at Samba XP last year was a connection tracking daemon for CTDB that's loosely coupled with the rest. You know, it uses information from the system using a callout to remember connections and store them in a replicated database across the cluster so it can reset connections after failover. That was pretty much finished by October, and the reason I chose that was because it was quite self-contained, and we have lots of new infrastructure in CTDB for writing new daemons, so I wanted to be able to get used to that before tackling something more challenging. I did a bunch of work on that to try and actually integrate it into the existing CTDB. So instead of storing connection information in a replicated database, I shoved it into CTDB the way it's done now. And by hacking one of the tests, I managed to make all the tests pass, but there's no way we could put that upstream. Items with an A in square brackets are things that Amate has done. An arrow pointing upwards means that it's upstream. So we have, Amate did this fabulous SOC daemon abstraction. So for daemons that use a Unix domain socket at the moment, and we were writing a lot of client code, it all looked the same, and I said to Amate, hey, we've got SOC daemon, could we have SOC client? And he said, yeah, and you know, a couple of days later, there it was. So that was done in the middle of last year, just after Samba XP. Late last year, I started on failover D, the loosely coupled daemon for handling failover, IP failover in CTDB. And that was a bit of a false start. Shortly after that, we had a conversation where we agreed that if we were going to get these new daemons into CTDB, the new config system that we'd been talking about for a long time would need to be there first so all of the daemons could get their configuration. So I thought, as I often do, that's a two-week task. So I came up with a little configuration abstraction based around Samba's tiny and tiny parser. And Amate kind of looked at it and went, it's not that nice. And he spent a while doing something nicer. So that was finished in about April and upstream in about May. While doing that, we needed a little tool for our event scripts to be able to get configuration values. So not only did our SOC client stuff help avoid a lot of boilerplate code, but option handling and handling commands passed to a, well, the most obvious example is, you know, IP address show, that sort of thing. Parsing command lines and with options was something we were doing in a lot of places. Namate said, I'm sick of doing this, repeating this. Let's have another abstraction. So he did that. And then we decided, well, we want to get rid of, and the people who were messing with CTDB on a particular distro and having problems locating, and it having problems locating the socket, maybe the PID file, maybe the configuration file. Well, we decided we don't want to offer those things as user level configuration options. And we just want to have a test mode. And in test mode, it'll find the socket and the PID file somewhere else. And when you're not in test mode, it will find those things at the compile time default. And that makes things a lot simpler. So we need a little command line tool for file paths and also, you know, some little library calls so that all of our daemons could just call dump functions. So, yeah, I suggested that to Amate. Said the next day, I said, oh, so this path thing, and he said, I'll show it to you later. So that was done. There's a lot of A's pointing upwards here. So from February, I started playing with the integrating the new config stuff into CTDBD and into all of our scripts. And the thing that I found was the assumption that our configuration was shell variables was deeply embedded in our test code. So a couple of hundred commits later, our test code no longer makes those assumptions, and we now have a config file in CTDB that looks a lot like the Samba config file. So that's coming up. So that's now upstream. In CTDB, Amate separated out an event daemon for running our event scripts some time ago. But now that we're going to have multiple components, multiple daemons, we spoke about how it was best to do that, whether to have a library that runs events for you or whether we should just have one daemon running the events. Now, one of the nice things here is that the event scripts are about the only thing we need to do as root in CTDB. So having one event daemon handling requests to run events from multiple components and having that thing running as root is a really sane design choice. So once that is in, and once failover D is in, then most of CTDB won't need to run as root, so we won't have that exposure. Provided we get rid of real time. Yep. So Amate has also been working on a new service daemon, much simpler than the current generic event handling. This starts up services, monitors them, shuts them down, maybe does a couple of other things, describe it later. That's about finished. So both of these things aren't upstream, they're about finished. Have you finished tests for service D? Tests aren't finished. We'll get there. My last night in Canberra, before I left to come here, because I was going to finish this on the road, we frantically hacked on my previous attempt at failover D and got something that's about 60% finished, but, you know, doesn't do anything yet. I'll finish it on the way home on the plane. So we've got quite a bit of code written. CTDB configuration. This is how it was. We had a file called ctdb.d.conf, which not everyone used. A lot of people used etc sysconfig ctdb or etc default ctdb still, and that's full of shell variables. The daemon itself took command line options. We had script options, and of course they were shell variables in ctdb.conf as well. Some of the conf options did both things. We have these tunables which can be updated at runtime. And, well, they're shell variables in that same config file prefixed with ctdb set. How does all this integrate? We have a wrapper script. All this used to be in the init script until we went to systemd, or until we offered a systemd thing. And then we had to somehow get these configuration variables to be handled by the daemon. So the idea is they get translated into command line options by the wrapper. Well, they did. That's a bit suboptimal. As recently as 6 weeks ago, somebody posted to the list saying, I've got all my configuration in the config file. I start the daemon and my config is ignored. Yeah, that's because you're not starting it with the wrapper. The tunables are handled by an event script which takes ctdb.conf, finds any variables starting with ctdb underscore set, and runs ctdb set var to set them in the local daemon. So that's also a bit suboptimal. As I said, the tests assumed a shell variable based configuration, and that encouraged some nasty, nasty, nasty hacks. And in fact, when I was some percentage of the way through, I came to a test hack and I looked at it and I went, oh dear, this is now going to take me half a day. And this is something where I said that it was something we should do to improve our test infrastructure, and Amitai just went, that's a nasty hack. And I said, can you think of another way of doing it? And he said, no. So it went in and then it took half a day to get back out. So it's been a long road. So here's an example of how it was. You've got five config variables and they're all just shell variables, nothing exciting. How it is? Okay, we now have ctdb, nod.conf, completely different file format. So this is a Samba style daemon configuration. We have script options which are outside the daemon. If you want to add an event script for handling some fancy failover thing, or you want to add a service to ctdb, you don't want to plumb that through as a daemon option. So we're going to handle them separately, and while initially that sounds complex, by the time we get to the end of this section, I hope to have convinced you that not many people are going to be doing this. Tunables are still handled by the event script and mapped into these setvar commands. We have the ctdb config internal helper that allows scripts to get options from the daemon. So we have some event scripts that do validation of the recovery lock and do some database checks, and those things are considered daemon options. We've got the ctdb path utility, which lets us get config socket and PID file locations and things like that. So we don't need to construct those every time. Most of our test hooks are now done via a single environment variable called ctdb test mode. We didn't want config file options or daemon options for test things, because once you do that, people start to use them. So all of our test tweaks are meant to be controlled by environment variables that are just documented in a README in the test directory. We still have ctdb socket and ctdb PID file environment variables. I think at the moment they're only used by the old event D. When the new one goes in and gets integrated, we shouldn't need those anymore. What's the new config look like? Okay, ctdb.conf says we're logging to syslog. The recovery lock is over there. The samba.options file, which sits next to the 50.samba event script, says ctdb manages samba. You can have a central script.options file if you want, but you'll see in a while why that's probably not necessary. Tunables are now in a ctdb.tunables file instead of in some centralized config file, and they're still processed by that event script, but the syntax is a little simpler. How will it be? Okay, we'll have that ctdb.conf file. We are going to get rid of the ctdb manages samba variable and the ctdb manages this variable and the ctdb manages that variable. If you want to manage samba, enable the event script. If you don't want to enable samba, disable the event script. We only need one knob for that. We don't need a variable and that. So this means that most event scripts won't require any configuration. The configuration that is used by most event scripts at the moment is this ctdb manages variable. Tunable options will gradually go away. It's hard to say how quickly that will happen, but they'll move to either ctdb.conf or to the script options. So we'll no longer have this separate idea of tunables. Everything else stays the same here, except that ctdb pid file, ctdb socket go away for testing. So it's getting cleaner. So it'll be something like this. The only thing I've changed there is the ctdb manager samba has gone away, and the tunable has changed into some database option in the config file. So getting much cleaner. What's gone? One of the first efforts in all of this was to get rid of things we don't think people need. So user grabbable PID file and socket options. We have an open bug in Bugzilla saying, I set the ctdb nodes config variable, but when I run some ctdb command, it doesn't work. Okay, that's because the ctdb tool itself doesn't read the config, whereas the daemon does. So, well, we could fix that so the tool reads the config, or we could just say, we have a config directory. Your nodes file lives in the config directory, and it's called nodes. If you want to put that in your cluster file system, use a symlink. Do something like that. But, you know, we don't need this many handles on things. Public addresses file will be in a standard place. Event script directory, well, we're going to have a bunch of them, and we really don't want people changing them. Event scripts live in the subdirectories of the config directory again. That's where they are. Notify scripts, we're going to be using notifications almost certainly for a bunch of the integration between our loosely coupled components. We want a standard notification mechanism. It's going to use the event subsystem, so we don't want people to be configuring some arbitrary notification script. CTDB public interface, the interface in the public addresses file for your floating addresses, if you like, was optional. There's no need for it to be optional. Let's make it mandatory. Let's get rid of the variable that allows it to be optional. Sometime in the past, persistent databases must have been flaky, and there was this checking. There was this variable, so you could say, "Oh, look, if we come up and the persistent database is corrupt, wait a while to see if another node comes up that has a good copy of that persistent database." I don't know that anyone's used that in years, so we chopped it. Bunch of other variables that don't matter. One thing is on the right-hand side there. There's a thing I can click here. I don't know which button it is. It's not that one. Very clearly, I won't click anything else today. Thank you for coming. All of the CTDBD options, apart from the interactive one, are now gone. There's only one option to ctdbd. Everything else is in the config file or is currently still attunable. We wanted it to be easy for people to put their volatile databases in a tempfs to try and improve performance. Another one of these really good hacks that occurs when the config is handled by shell variables. I went, look, I can do this transparently. If people just set ctdb to tempfs, I can change that value under the hood so ctdb points to the tempfs, and everything will work just fine. This is fabulous. Try and implement that when your config variables aren't shell variables. No. So we just got rid of it. If the admin wants to put the volatile databases in a tempfs, then mount a tempfs. I mean, the functionality is not gone, just how you do it is a bit simpler. Similarly, we had options for suppressing core files and the number of max open files. Systemd has options for this. In the init script, you can run ulimit or whatever to do this sort of thing. So we don't need options for this. They're just things that we need to maintain. What will be gone, okay, as I've said, all the CTDB managers variables will be gone. If you want NFS, you enable the NFS event script. If you want Samba, you enable the Samba event script. CTDB.tunables will disappear. CTDBD wrapper will disappear. That's about ready to go. With systemd, I think we can just call CTDBD directly. With sys5 init, we can probably just move this much code back into the init script and be done. And those test variables will be gone too. So, yeah, this now feels amazing. It's feeling like it's much more part of Samba. Okay, event management. How it was. We had a single events.d directory. A script was called 50.samba, for example. To enable that service, you would say CTDB manages Samba equals yes in your config. The configuration for that script was in ctdbd.conf. Notifications were done by setting CTDB notify script usually to our own notification script that ran a directory full of notification scripts. Here's how it is right now, and we're planning for it not to be this way for the 4.9 release. We have a single event script directory called events/legacy. 50.samba is now called 50.samba.script. The reason for that, well, you still need to right now set CTDB manager Samba. The reason why it's now called 50.samba.script is that you can put right next to it 50.samba.options, and you have a clear tie between the script you've enabled and the options for it. You can put the options in script.options if you're doing something packagey, but the good thing is that when the manager's variable is gone, most people won't need any options at all. Notifications are currently in events notification, and they're still using the old thing that uses system to run a bunch of scripts in a loop. How will it be? Okay, well, under the events directory, we will move things out of legacy into cluster, service, and failover. So you'll now have much more clear structure to scripts and config. So instead of everything being a bit black magic-y, and you write to the list and somebody says, set the magic variable, sacrifice a chicken, and it may work. You know, we've got separate components, we will have, and the configuration for those will be clear. So nothing surprising on this slide compared to what I said before. Okay, a bonus example. We have this NAT gateway feature because we're doing transparent failover, which makes us groan. If you don't have static addresses on interfaces, then when you don't have any of your public addresses hosted, you can't reach infrastructure, or you might not be able to reach infrastructure such as your Active Directory server. So Ronnie invented this cool little feature called NAT Gateway, which isn't terribly important, but it's just an interesting example showing off the config stuff. So there used to be a script called events.d11.natgateway. The main config file had all the config for that, including a pointer to the NAT Gateway nodes file. And then there was the NAT Gateway nodes file. How it will be? Okay. Instead of the central configuration, well, the NAT Gateway script moves to the failover directory and gets a .script suffix and probably gets its number changed. The options go in the options file next to the script. We don't need a variable saying where the NAT Gateway nodes file is, because it can just live in a .nodes file next to the script and next to the options. So it becomes very clear. How could it be? Well, most people who use NAT Gateway have a single NAT Gateway group and don't worry about what that means, but it just includes all the nodes in the cluster. So if there's no NAT Gateway 40.natgateway.nodes file, you could just use the cluster's nodes file to configure NAT Gateway, and life would be a lot simpler. I don't know if that's a good idea because it's kind of implicit, but it simplifies configuration. So coming in the next little while will be the new event D, which has already been well tested. It handles multiple components, and it will handle notifications. Service management. Amitai has been working hard on the new service management daemon. This is actually something I copied from last year's presentation. And, you know, once we have these components, one of the possibilities is that you can replace them with others. So, you know, we've got an event D with a bunch of event scripts. You take out IP failover, you drop a whole bunch of event names, and you're left with service management. And maybe you can replace this. But, you know, I mean, we obviously wouldn't be writing a service daemon if we... In the first instance, we want CTDB to behave almost exactly how it does now, although configured quite differently, obviously. Service management events, startup, shutdown, monitor, reconfigure after a failover, and perhaps something to kick failover D, although we'll probably end up using notifications for that. Integrating it, well, we're going to shut down services when CTDB becomes inactive on a node. And when we have an unhealthy to healthy transition or the other way around, we'll kick failover D in some way to say, the state of something changed here, do a failover. So it's pretty simple. IP failover. So we'll have a new failover daemon, and it handles assignment and hosting of addresses, like our public IP addresses. It'll also handle LVS. And for things like NAT Gateway, it will also assign the NAT Gateway master node. It will do this completely using event scripts. I mean, clearly our really complex public IP allocation algorithm won't be rewritten in shell. We'll use a helper and treat it a bit like a plugin to calculate the new IP layout. But the whole thing, failover D itself, is just really dumb, as you'll see. State can be stored in a replicated database associated with failover D. Repeated failures of failover just cause a node to be banned. At the moment, I'm only seeing four event scripts. Our policy routing stuff is so tightly integrated with public IPs that I think it should just be folded in there. LVS will remain pretty much unchanged, but offered as an option for failover. We'll still offer a simple hook for making sure static routes are available, provided the addresses to support them are there. And we'll still offer NAT Gateway. Um, Right. So IP failover needs to do some monitoring. Currently, we have monitoring for IP failover in two places. We monitor whether interfaces go up and down in an event script, and we plug that information into CTDB via a CTDB command that I can't remember the name of. And then the recovery daemon does a failover if the state of interfaces change, and it's a little bit messy. So our monitor loop will monitor network interfaces in the event script. And one of the things that happens at the moment is in the normal mode is if a network interface goes down, we mark the node unhealthy and CTDB notices and therefore causes a failover. There's also this config variable called CTDB partially online interfaces. And that says, as long as there is one good network interface, don't become unhealthy, because there's this thing where you can say this address can be hosted on this interface. Now, the right thing to do is simply to, what have I said next? Yes, so any change in monitor state causes failover. So if an interface goes up, you do a failover, and if you don't have any interfaces to host an address, then that address just isn't available on your node. But there's no need to make the node unhealthy. So that partially online interfaces is no longer optional. It'll just work, and it'll be completely logical. CTDB, when it's printing status, could still try and figure out whether a node has interfaces down and report some partially online state. But we'll get to that. Monitoring for IP failover is unusual because it continues after the first failure. We need to do monitoring for all of our different enabled failover services like public IPs, NAT gateway, whatever. And then the monitoring will also update the addresses that are available in the database and stick them in the replicated database so that when failover starts, if that information is up to date, it doesn't need to prompt the other nodes to advertise available addresses and things. So how does failover work? This is the really dumb failover daemon. When a failover is triggered, we ask the master node to run a calculated... Well, we ask the master node to run a failover. That master node then runs a local calculate event and calculates if there's a global calculation to be done, such as public IP layout, it runs the algorithm to do that and puts the results into the database. Then, on all the active nodes in lockstep, we run an event to get them to prepare the desired state and cache it locally. So they fetch the intended state out of the database and they say, what will my node, what will I look like? What will this node look like? And then there's a simple release event where stuff is released, IP addresses, you know, NAT gateway, master role, whatever is released. There's a simple take event. And one thing here is if your node has 200 or 300 IP addresses, you'll no longer be trying to run 200 or 300 release IP and take IP events in parallel and forking a lot and using a lot of memory. All that stuff ends up getting serialized right down in the guts of the event script anyway. Excuse me, around some, probably around an IP tables command, but I think that, you know, obviously the IP commands when they're talking to the kernel and adding addresses to interface, that stuff needs to be serialized somewhere too. So we'll just serialize it ourselves. I've done this sort of thing before 4 or 5 years ago and tested the performance, and it's actually better than what we do now for a lot of addresses. For a small number of addresses, it might be marginally worse, but not so much worse that you'll notice. And then we do some tweaks and routing changes, and failover is done. For If a node is still alive but it becomes inactive, we'll just drop all the IP addresses and shut down services. So that's pretty simple. Then we've got this CTDB daemon, which currently has all this stuff in it. What remains? We need the transport, the communication between nodes for shuffling database records and sending controls back and forth and that sort of thing. Cluster membership remains, because cluster membership is tightly tied to whether a node is, is present on the transport. If a node is connected to others via a TCP connection and then disconnects, then the other nodes will notice and know that that node is disconnected. So cluster membership, and like last year we thought cluster management and transport could be separated. We're not so sure now. We don't think so. Cluster leadership, that's still going to be there or in the recovery daemon, but it's probably a candidate for handling a little bit separately. For now, the databases are still in that main daemon, but moving this other stuff out kind of clears the way to separate that stuff a bit. The main CTDBD handles startup and shutdown of everything else. We're now going to have more daemons than ever. And it will also handle inactive to active node transitions. So if a node gets banned because it's misbehaving or is administratively stopped or continued. Blah, 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 blah. Thank you for coming, IBM. Questions? No questions. Uh-oh. Tom, thank you. You're grinning. I'm out of here.
No, I'm just waiting for the magic implement. I actually have two questions.
Yep.
I'll ask, let's see. The config changes.
Yep.
Question number one is, did you have any sort of dialogue with distro maintainers, packagers about this? They tend to get very prickly when this changes, and do you expect that? And second, you didn't mention any upgrade tool for existing configs.
I'm a kind and loving CTDB developer. There will be a script. There will be a script that will go through the entire config and produce a recommended config. Whether or not you want the user to handle that automatically, you know, that is a little bit up to the distro. I'll finish answering that first, and then I'll make the next point. And also the CTDB manages stuff. You know, if we're currently managing Samba, then we will enable the Samba event script. Otherwise, we will ship with most of the event scripts disabled, because that makes sense now. But after looking at the old config, we can say, okay, you should run these CTDB script enable commands. This is your config file. This is your tunable file. Whether or not we want to automatically put them in place, I think that's the bit that really requires dialogue. The other thing is, the other thing that's pretty obvious is that we only want to do this once. And at the moment, with the legacy directory sitting there, I'm on a pretty tight deadline.
Once, assuming you're confident that you've made the right changes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, we've spent a lot of time doing staging to let us do this quickly, and we...
Well, it didn't make in a public release yet, right?
Yep.
So you've got to expect some...
Sure.
Okay.
Yep. But I think once people, like, one of the reasons I've been sort of presenting what I hope to do, never presented the config changes before, but I think when people look at the new config, they go, oh, isn't that nice? So
they're going to be much happier with it by the sound, but
it is churn. Yep. And feedback is greatly valued. But yeah, I mean, sort of making it cleaner, more Samber-ish. I think there's a lot of value there. And the other thing is, it does provide work for our distribution friends. You know, they need to remain gainfully employed. And you know, people at vendors also need to remain gainfully employed. So you know, I'm thinking that is exactly right. That's exactly right. So yeah, I mean, this had to happen eventually, and you know, there'll be the magic script, and we hope it will be a peaceful transition. Yeah. Okay. None of the people from distros are throwing things at the moment. Yeah. Sorry? The users will do that. Yeah. Yeah. Currently, the is this viewable? Yeah. So there is a what's new entry for Samba 4.9. That's currently 110 lines added for describing the changes for CTDB. It describes the current situation. It always has. Every time some changes go upstream, I update this, but I didn't want to churn it, you know, once or twice a week. So no, I definitely understand that concern.
They're writing a script which is way more than one project.
Yeah, the script isn't written yet, but but it is honestly pretty simple. So. Oh yeah. I'll do that the night before things freeze. So, are there any other questions? Thank you for listening, and thank you for not throwing things.